Okay, it's 10:15, so let's get started. Welcome to the session on data protection with Config Manager and Windows Intune. I am Dilip Radhakrishnan. I'm a lead program manager with the Windows Intune team. I've been with Microsoft for 9 years now, and I primarily work on security, data protection, and resource access features in Windows Intune. With me here is Aseem.
I'm Aseem. I'm a senior program manager with the Intune team. I've been with Microsoft for about 8 years, and I primarily focus on mobile device management of Android devices. So if you have any questions about Android specifically, feel free to come by after the talk.
Cool. So we have a very simple agenda today. We want to go over and give a brief recap of what our PCIT strategy is. And then I want to start sharing some of the emerging trends that we are seeing in the data protection space, especially around mobile device management. And then we'll do a lot of demos and get into the technical details of how we do data protection with the product that we have in the market today in Windows Intune, along with Config Manager. But I also will be spending some time on what's the road ahead for us. And the reason that's really important is if you step back and look at the cadence at which these mobile devices and the updates are happening, it's a pretty fast-paced environment. And what we've done in Intune is, as a service, is we did an update of Intune service in Jan. We have one that we pushed out last week. We have an update coming in summer and then in fall. So the Intune service is really rapidly innovating in this space, and we want to make sure that you get a feel for what's coming down the road. So if you've been attending PCIT track sessions, I'm sure you've seen this slide multiple times. So I'm going to talk to just the key points here, which is in this world with BYOD and corp-owned devices, you have users. Gone are the days of a single device to a single user where you could just manage it like your PCs. With mobile devices and the explosion in that market today, every user has at least 3 to 5 devices, and it also doesn't make much sense to just think of management as a device-centric view. The user-centric management is a much better story here. And then on all these different devices, there are at least 3 major platforms, right, which is Google, Apple, and Microsoft, where there is no standardization of here is the exact set of security features or protection capabilities. There's always a catch-up in some platforms. There are some that leapfrog others. So from an IT administrator and security perspective, you always have to watch out for what's coming up next, what are the new threats that are coming out, and how do you address them with the solutions that you have. And from these devices, the key thing that's taken off is all the applications and the app stores that are out there. There are millions of apps. And on some of these platforms, those apps are very malicious, and then you're going to have to deal with situations of what kind of data do those apps have. In fact, 80% of those applications typically bare minimum have information to your contact or schedule. You don't even know when you click and download those apps. But some of those go much beyond that in terms of what it can do to your device. And then finally, all this is leading up to, from a resource perspective, corporate data. That's the one that you're really interested in how to protect. And we are seeing, again, a lot of trends there that I'll be discussing in detail today. So how are we in Microsoft in general and Intune in particular addressing these challenges? We have 3 main pillars: unify, enable, and protect. That's the 3 main pillars of our solution. By unify, what we did was we took the industry-leading PC management solution, which is the System Center Config Manager, and then extended it with a Windows Intune subscription so that you can manage all your PCs and mobile devices from a unified central console. A lot of our existing Config Manager customers love this capability because this is a product they're very familiar with, they've deployed it, and they know how to manage it. And then when you have to deal with new applications or new security policies, they're using existing features that they're very familiar with, which is I can go into the app model an iOS app. I can go in and write a security setting for an iOS just like I do it with a PC setting. So that is a really powerful capability. And at the same time, what we've also done is with the Intune standalone customer, so there is a big trend we are seeing where a lot of customers are adopting Office 365. So if you're going to an all-in cloud kind of solution, then we also have the Intune available as a standalone service that you can sign up, and without any on-prem infrastructure, you can manage all these mobile devices and PCs that are coming into your environment. So the next thing we do is also in this kind of mobile device world, as I said, it is much easier to manage and think about users, not just devices. So again, SCCM pioneered this concept of user-centric computing and PC management. And what we've done is extended the same with mobile devices. So if you go in, you can see all the different applications that we ship called a company portal app that is available on iOS. It's available on Android. It's available on Windows and Windows Phone as well. So what you can do is you can manage all these self-service requests from an end-user perspective. They can go and request, here are my apps that I'm publishing to my users. They can install it at their own convenience. And you can, of course, also do a push install to mobile devices, but you also give the flexibility to the end-users. And the bulk of the discussion today is going to be focused on protect your data. So there, the key concepts to keep in mind is you have to figure out how to protect the data that is on-premise in your servers, in SharePoint, your file servers, as well as data if you're adopting cloud solutions, how you're going to control access to the data there, as well as what happens to your email and everything that gets synced to the mobile device. So both are equally important there. So here is what we are seeing from a market trend perspective. Even up to till Windows 7 launch, right, most of the IT management around data protection all centered around PC management and lockdown world. There it was much easier because you had all your PCs under your control. They were all domain joined typically. You could set group policies to set all the basic knobs and security settings. And then you could go in and deploy patches through update services. And then you could also manage your malware protection through the Inbox Defender that ships in Windows. Or you could choose to have a third-party anti-malware product and then deploy that and manage it. But pretty much you could manage all these corporate resources and the data related to that with a much higher security than you had today. Then what happened was all the mobile devices started showing up, and initial versions of iOS and Android took off, and then there was literally no good solution in the market. And that's when Microsoft stepped up and said, okay, the killer app that why most people use a mobile device is their email, so why don't we put a gate at the entry point when they get access to the email, the Exchange Active Sync allowed IT administrators to push policies down basic PIN security policies, do some kind of basic full wipe of the device capabilities. And in fact, by far, this is still the most popular MDM solution out there because just by the simplicity of use and people who are not very familiar with MDM and how to roll out an MDM solution still continue relying on EAS. Then what happened was iOS and Android and all the Windows platform, they all evolved from a management perspective. They got richer in terms of core management protocols that they built into the operating system. And that meant like there's a whole new set of capabilities that you could do beyond what EAS management could do. So in terms of granular controls, you could go a lot more deeper than what you got with EAS policies. Like for example, with iOS 7, they introduced this new feature called Open and Manage. And that allowed you to go and control what are the applications that are allowed to open certain kind of attachments and files that you have with corporate data on it. And they also introduced the ability to provision access to corporate resources. So it was not just settings alone. You could send a VPN, Wi-Fi, or email profile down to these devices. And they also introduced the concept of selective wipe. But that still is not addressing all the data protection concerns that's there in the market. It's very easy to leak data. So if you just had a basic setting that says don't backup to iCloud, that's not sufficient in the age when you have all your OneDrives, Google Drive, Dropbox, and all these different sources. It's very easy for somebody to take the data, put it wherever they want, either intentionally or unintentionally, and then you have no control over that data. So what's really happening over the last couple of years, or year and a half, is this focus on mobile application management. Don't just worry about how to protect your devices, but worry about how to protect the apps and the data associated with those applications on those devices. So here's where you'll hear all the buzzwords around, hey, containerization, I have this container, that container. And some of the third-party vendors build their own containers. Vendors like Samsung built a container into the product and called it, branded it as Knox. So there are pros and cons of those approaches. But that's a really evolving and hot market right now. And what we see as a trend going forward is more and more of these capabilities are going to start getting built again into the operating system. There's going to be kind of capabilities that we predict will be core and central to the platform rather than relying on every vendor having a different implementation. So Let's look at what kind of threats are there and how do you protect yourself from that from a mobile data protection. So when you look at your resources, the one you typically have to protect is on-prem. You have data residing in your SharePoint sites as documents, patent documents, your customer lists, all the data that's there. You have an on-prem file server. Again, people are going to look up and share data. I'm sure you have some common share in your enterprise where people just dump data. Interesting cases, we had one customer who ran a scan on just this common share, and they found literally hundreds and thousands of documents that were all high business impact or critical data that was just being shared around without any protection. And then when we also look at some early adopters who are moving to Office 365, then you have access to these services that are also going to be part of your data resides in the cloud, not on on-prem. And typically what we've seen is most of the customers, when they talk about security, they really go into the bottom layer of the stack, which is, hey, what is the new cool feature in iOS or Android? But what is really important is you need to focus also equally on how do you secure access to corporate resources from these mobile devices. That's as important as what you do actually on the device itself. So when you want to do access control to email, or I want to do access control to my VPN services, I would like to do it based on what is the device state on my machine. Like, is it a healthy device? If it is in a good state, then I would like to be able to allow access to this environment. And on the actual client, again, there is a lot of useful corporate data that is going to be synced. So your email is the core application, the predominant application that's going to take corporate data and cache it on a personal device. And then you have Android, across all these platforms, also the ability to share data between applications. And that's going to also have issues if you don't protect it, especially when the user leaves the company or the device is lost or stolen. You need to have protection capabilities for that. So with that context, I'm going to have Aseem come over and talk about how we do data protection today in our product with both securing your resource access as well as what you can do on the client.
Thanks, Dilip. So before I dive into data protection in Intune today, I want to take a couple of minutes to just talk about a question I kept getting all week in TechEd is, how do I get started using Intune? How can I start doing some of the demos that I've seen today? How can you do some of the demos that you're about to see today? So this slide is a quick rundown of how you can set up an Intune trial. So the link at the top actually points to microsoft.com/windowsintune. And from there, you can actually sign up for a 30-day trial. And then you can go to manage.microsoft.com and actually use the web browser, which is our management console for Intune. And then there's a couple of steps that you need to do to actually get devices enrolling. So this slide is just a reference, but I want to actually show you how to do it firsthand. So let me switch over. So that link I have on the slide, this just goes to this website. So you can sign up here for a 30-day trial. You just enter your information, and you'll be set up. In terms of accounts, obviously, if you have a production setup of Intune, you may want to sync up your on-prem AD accounts with Azure AD. For a trial account, you can actually just set up a user account with a .onmicrosoft.com suffix. So if you just want to get up and running in a couple of minutes, you have that option. Once you've done that, you can actually go into the management console. And there's a couple of things that you need to do here before you can enroll your devices. So a couple of pro tips, I guess. So you want to go into the administration tab and go into mobile device management. And the first thing you're going to want to do is actually, you'll see this in a lot of screens in the Intune admin console. And it's a tasks submenu, and you can see links to some important things you can do on each page. So what you'll see here is it says set mobile device management authority. And it's grayed out because I've already done this, but this is something that commonly trips people up is if you've been to other Intune sessions, you can actually manage Intune via either the Intune console in the web browser, or you can actually set it up to work with your config manager console, right? That's what we call hybrid. So by selecting this, you're saying, okay, I want to manage this through the Intune management console, which is typically for a trial what you'd want to go do. But in production, you may want to go with hybrid. But you want to make sure you set this, because otherwise, Intune's not going to know where to send policy from. The next thing you want to do is for specific operating systems of devices, there are some prerequisites. So for example, on Windows Phone, you'll see the documentation is here, but you need to sign applications that get deployed to Windows Phone devices. So for the company portal app that Dilip mentioned, what you want to do is sign up for a code signing certificate with Symantec, and then actually sign the company portal application, upload it here into Windows Intune, and then deploy it to your Windows Phone devices. Now, for a trial, you may not want to go out and do all those steps. We actually do provide a pre-signed version of the company portal app, so you can skip those steps. But that's how you'd handle Windows Phone. For iOS, there are a couple of steps around push notifications before you can start enrolling iOS devices. So you can see here, we need an APNS certificate. That's Apple Push Notification Certificate. So that's how we will send push notifications to your iOS devices. So what you first need to do is actually click this button up at the top that says Download APNS Certificate Request. Once you have that request, you can go to Apple, to Apple's website, and actually get the actual certificate. It takes a couple of minutes. Then you upload that certificate up into Intune, and you're good to go on iOS. For Android, you don't have to do anything. You can just start enrolling devices. So with that, you should be able to get up and running in a few minutes. If you have any further questions, you can come by after the talk, and we can help you get up and running. So with that quick intro, now that you're all experts, we can talk about data protection. So the first thing I want to talk about is securing access to corporate resources. If you've been to other sessions, and as Dilip mentioned, we provide access to corporate resources such as email, VPN, and Wi-Fi. But you can imagine with a Wi-Fi profile, you don't want to use a username and password. Typically, you want to use certificates. So with Intune, we support SCEP certificates, which stands for a simple certificate enrollment protocol. So how do you set up this certificate infrastructure, and how do you use these SCEP certificates? So this diagram, it's a little complicated, but let me walk through it. So the infrastructure you need on-premise, first of all, you can use SCCM. You'll also need what's called an NDES server. And that NDES server sits in your on-premise environment, and it has a plugin that comes with SCCM that you want to install on that machine. And you'll need this NDES server because it will handle SCEP challenges. So how does this whole SCEP thing work? So in SCCM, you'll actually create a SCEP certificate policy. And in that, you'll populate a whole bunch of metadata about your certificate. So, for example, the NDES URL, the subject, whatever. What will happen is then when you deploy a Wi-Fi profile or a VPN profile, you'll associate that with a specific certificate policy. So what Intune will do is when it sends out the Wi-Fi profile, it will also send out the certificate policy. And as it goes up into Intune, before it comes to your device, the Intune gateway will create a SCEP challenge based on the metadata that you've provided in your SCEP policy. Now on the device will then talk to your NDES server when it gets that SCEP policy. The NDES server will take that SCEP challenge, if you're following along, and it will then talk to SCCM and compare that SCEP challenge to what was already in the SCCM database. If it matches, then NDES will say, okay, you're authorized, and then it will go to your certificate authority and get the actual certificate and put it on your device. So it's quite a few steps. There's actually a ton of great documentation on TechNet on how to go and set all this up. But the reason we chose SCEP is primarily because the private key is actually generated on your device and stays on your device. So it never goes to Intune, it never goes to CM. So it always stays on your device. So how does this work in practice? Sure. Sure. So the question was, if I'm not using an on-premise solution and I just want to use Intune, what's the story with SCEP certificates?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'll be covering that. So that's the roadmap.
Fair enough. Okay. So from the SCC, I'm doing this demo from the SCCM console, but we can talk afterwards about Intune specifically. So this is the SCCM console. As I mentioned, you can actually manage Intune for your on-premise SCCM infrastructure. So to set up a certificate profile, you just go into Assets and Compliance, Company Resource Access, and under here you can actually see cert profiles. And you can actually create policies for both root certificates and user certificates. And you can, if I open this up, you can see the various metadata that you can enter. And it's a wizard that you go through. One thing I would like to highlight, actually, is this setting, these settings right here. So if you have Windows 8.1 devices, they do have, a lot of them have TPMs. And you can actually guard the certificates on those devices with the TPM. So that's just a nice feature to have, just so you know about. But you can see all the different certificate properties here. So once you set up a certificate, you don't actually go ahead and deploy it. You just say device types, what platforms do I want this to apply to. And then what you do is you'll actually want to link this to whatever resource access profile that you have. So for example, here's a Wi-Fi profile. If I want to go create a new one, so I'll give it a name. ID. And typically, I might want to use WPA2 Enterprise, and that will require a certificate. So, enter this in. And so here, you can actually go ahead and associate a specific root certificate. So I had a root certificate here. And then same thing, I can do, associate a user certificate. And once they're associated, once I deploy this Wi-Fi profile to whatever user collection I want, the cert profile will actually go down with it. And this is true for both not only Wi-Fi profiles, but also VPN and email as well. OK. So now we've talked about data in transit. I want to spend some time talking about what we do with data at rest. So the typical question I get is, OK, I have a whole bunch of users. They're using different devices. And they've got all this data on their phones. How do I have some reasonable way of protecting that data? And in truth, a lot of this has to do with what platforms you're using. There is some variance, and things are rapidly changing, as Dilip mentioned. So let me first talk about iOS. So iOS has its own MDM agent, which you'll see is a bit unique compared to Android. So Apple actually provides their own MDM agent, and we call into those APIs. So what support on that platform depends on what's in that MDM agent. We currently support iOS 6.0. I've talked about the push notification certificates, but there's some key settings here that you'll see. Mainly, I've seen a lot of interest in cloud syncing, preventing access to iCloud, disabling the browser, along with actually disabling access to the store. I talked to a customer who was saying that they want to stop people from expensing apps that they buy on the iTunes store, so I can understand that. You can also disable in-app purchases. So they've added a lot of features. But I think the key thing to remember about iOS, which is pretty cool, is around these data sharing restrictions that they've got. Dilip mentioned OpenIn. So if you've used an iOS device, typically when you open up a document, you'll have this list that comes up of all the applications on your device, and I want to go, you know, open it up. So I have a Word attachment, and I want to go open that up in Dropbox, right? I can go do that. Well, with iOS, you can actually restrict that. So what you can do is actually only restrict that to applications that you have managed. So what do I mean by managed? Those are applications that you've actually pushed out via Intune. So if an app has been pushed down by Intune, iOS will say, OK, that app is managed. That app is OK. So now when I open up my email attachment, it will be restricted to those apps that I've got managed. So Dropbox is not managed. It's not going to show up. You can't open that document in there. And Dilip will show a demo of this and actually go into more detail about how this goes into the future roadmap. Android support. So this is different than iOS. So for us, we actually had to go build our own agent because there is no agent provided by Google. So we created our own OmaDM agent, which is based off the OmaDM agent that's in the Windows phone. And we currently support Android 4.0. There's good reasons for that. Android 4.0 is the first release that really had some sort of certificate management and security, and it had a system store where we could actually store certificates. There are some key settings, but in general, Android is pretty limited in its manageability. It has abilities to store passwords or control passwords, disable the camera. But you can see here, you can see this information at Google's website, but you can see Android 4.0 devices are pretty pervasive at this point. So it can cover a lot of devices. To dive in a little bit into Android and can you give you some insight into how a device actually enrolls with Intune, this diagram is a little scary, but let me explain. So on the bottom box there is our Android package, and you can think of this the same thing as with our Windows application or iOS. And with an Android, there's really two major components. On the right side is what you actually think of as the company portal. So that's the UI that you see. So when you enroll a device, you bring it up, you put in your user credentials, and we redirect to AD, and then we bring down whatever applications you have, whatever devices are already enrolled, and this is all things that the user can play around with. That's part of that sort of process. There's another process entirely, which is the OMADM service. And that's the thing that actually pulls policy down from the device. So if you think about it, when you're enrolling, we'll actually go and talk to the enrollment service. We'll pull data down, like all the application icons and everything, from the IW service. And then periodically, we will actually have the OMADM service run. Typically, it's about every 8 hours, but you can configure that. And it will go and pull down policy from the MDM gateway. OMADM is interesting. So the policy that we get down is just basically a bunch of XML. It's called SyncML, in fact. And once that policy comes down, we basically translate the URIs in that XML into actual settings, in this case, on Android. But the OMA URIs are interesting because, when we add support for settings in the UI, in the Intune console or the SCCM console, we're basically translating those settings into these OMA URIs. And then our OMADM agents process them. But there's no reason why we can't update these OMADM agents quicker then we update our service. So as the platforms change, you'll notice that we can support more OMADM URIs, but we don't have ways to actually expose them in the service yet. So there's actually ways that you can actually use these OMA URIs, and I'll show this in a second, and actually take advantage of settings that are not yet available in the SCCM console or in the Intune console, but that platform actually has support for it. So I'll talk about that in a sec. The other thing a lot of people ask me about is push notifications. So we use the GCM service, Google Cloud Messaging for Android, but Apple push notifications. And people ask me, like, so what data are you storing over there? Like, okay, I didn't sign up to put my data on Google or an Apple. And the answer to that is we don't store any data there. So for those services, all those services are doing is sending an empty message to our devices to just say, wake up and go talk to the service and pull down some new policy. So there's no corporate data, no personal data that actually gets stored on any external services that we use. So Dilip actually talked about Samsung Knox. Another trend we're seeing in Android is because native Android support is fairly limited in terms of manageability, a lot of OEMs are providing sort of API layers on top of their devices, or their Android devices, to provide some extensibility. Samsung is a big OEM, so they've created what's called Samsung Knox, and they have two parts to that, Samsung Knox Standard and Samsung Knox Premium. Knox Standard basically provides a whole bunch of new settings that you can now push down to these new Samsung devices, so Note 3, S5, even some older devices, you can actually upgrade them, and you'll get these policies. And so that's something we're actually supporting today. So when we register an Android device, we'll see, oh, it's actually a Samsung Knox-supported device. We'll actually use those APIs instead of the generic Android APIs. Knox Premium is a little different. Knox Premium is something that's actually a specific, like, hardware-level, like, container on the device. So the experience for an end user with that would be they would see an icon on their device called Knox. They would select it, put in their PIN, and they would get a brand new home screen. And in that home screen would be a whole bunch of apps that are locked down. It's completely controlled by IT. You can't copy-paste data out of it. It's completely encrypted. So this is a new kind of trend we're seeing. We're still thinking about supporting. We're figuring out how we should support that, but I think part of it is understanding, is that something that a lot of customers would be interested in? If you have feedback on that, I'd be really interested to hear what you think. So Knox Standard settings. So there's a lot of settings in Knox Standard. The ones we have in green are what we support today, and as part of the roadmap, we will be supporting these other settings that will be coming soon. Root detection. So this is a question I also get quite often, specifically on Android, but even on other devices. So how do I know if someone's trying to register a device that's rooted or jailbroken? And so we do have ways to actually detect this in our agents, and we do this via some basic heuristics. I have them listed here. I'm not going to go into detail in here for the hackers in the audience who want to go figure out how we do it. But at a high level, we do look for some key things. If a super user is enabled on the device, if there are some binaries that are around the super user. Also, we look for specific Linux tools, like BusyBox is a common one we see that allows people to have extra commands on the device. There's also ways to check if the OEM image has been tampered with, or if any system folders permissions have changed. So those are some heuristics that we use. We are obviously constantly updating these to make sure that we stay up with what's happening in the industry. And we run this periodically. So this will run every time policy checks come in. So if someone enrolls a device for the first time and it's jailbroken, we'll see it off the bat. If 3 weeks down the line they root their device, you'll see that as well. And I'll actually show you how you can view that in the console. Last but certainly not least, there's a whole bunch of new Windows Phone 8.1 settings. If you played around with Intune 6 months or a year ago, you'll notice there wasn't much support, but we've added a ton of support with the new feature pack, so there's a lot of new settings here. Also, the whole thing I was talking about with custom OmaDM URIs, which I'll show in a second, that also applies to Windows Phone 8.1. So let's take a look at some policy. So first thing I want to show you is in the Intune Management Console, you can actually create specific policies. If you've seen other sessions, you've seen all the settings that we provide. So again, if you kind of look at this tasks section, you can easily get to some important links. So if you want to create a policy, what you want to do is click on Add Policy and then go to Mobile Device Security. And you have an option. We do provide a default template that you can use with some important settings. Or you can actually create a custom policy and choose whatever settings that you like. And when you select that, you can obviously give it a name and everything. But the important thing here are the settings that you can actually go ahead and manipulate. So there's a whole section on passwords. I won't spend too much time on all these individual settings. Encryption is important, obviously, for data protection. Here are some of the cloud settings for iOS. And if you select on these, you can actually see what platforms are supported. And then you can go ahead and essentially go ahead and just deploy these to your users. Now, I've already gone ahead and actually created some policies. So you can see I've created one that just is one single switch. It's just disabled the camera. I've also created one that says password policy. Make sure that the device actually has a four-digit PIN. So what does this actually look like for the end user? So if I enroll my device, so this device I've enrolled, you can see the company portal application is there. And you can see this device has a camera. And if I try to use it, you see I get this notification, sorry, can't use the camera. You also notice I didn't have a password on this device. So what happens, what does the end user see? You'll see they'll get a notification saying, hey, you need to secure your device. Please update your device passcode. Now, if they don't do this, then the device will not be in compliance. So what does the IT pro actually end up seeing? So you can actually drill down into any device that you have. And let's see. So you can see this device I have here, and you're getting a notification. Oh, there's two policy error settings. So select it, and you can see the exact settings that are not being complied with and what's wrong. And so from there, you can take action, either notifying the user, hey, you need to go do something, or in some cases, you can actually just boot them off. Off your network entirely. Okay. So another thing I want to talk about, as I mentioned, was rooted devices. So you can see pretty easily here we have a column for jailbroken, and I actually do have a device that actually is rooted. I do. And so you can see that that's easily shown here. But if you have a lot of devices, you can imagine you may want to have like a query that easily goes and finds all these devices that might be jailbroken that are connected to Intune. So you can actually go into reports, and we have a whole new mobile device inventory reporting system. And you can filter by operating system. In this specific environment, I only have Android devices, but you can select which operating systems. And then you can actually easily select, okay, I want to only see the jailbroken devices. Go ahead and view the report. Turning. And you can see here's the device I have. It's a 4.2 device. It's from Samsung. It's a tablet here. And you know that it's rooted, so then you can take actions to actually, either notify the user or actually unenroll the device. I think I see a question. Yeah. So the question is, if someone's leaving the company, how do we deprovision their device? It's a great question. I'm going to get to that in about 5 minutes. Okay. So one more thing about policies. In all fairness, I should show you what you can do in the Configuration Manager console. So if you go to Configuration Items, you can actually create policies from there as well to manage Intune mobile devices. If you go and create a configuration item, I'm just gonna give it a name, and you want to make sure you select mobile devices. And you can see here the same categories of settings. But I think the interesting thing here is if you go to this additional option called Configure Additional Settings, and so you'll see an empty screen here, but if you go to Add, there's a nice little kind of little pro tip, I guess. So if you want to know what settings apply to what platforms, you can actually easily see that here. So you can see all the settings that we support and what platforms they'll work on. But another thing you might want to be interested in doing is this button here called Create Setting. And this is what I was referring to before about creating your own custom settings. So if there's something you know that we support in Windows Phone, you can actually go in here and actually create the OMA URI, and we'll document these. So even though it's not in the UI, you can actually go ahead and create it here. So for example, instead of saying registry value, say OMA URI, and say string, and then you'll put in the actual URI here. And I'll show you an example of what that actually looks like. So I have this awesome policy, deny rubber duck and WordAmint, so I don't want those people using those applications on my Windows Phone. We don't have an actual app whitelist blacklist yet in the UI, but you can use this custom OMA URI to go and do that. And if you see the properties here, you can see in the settings, you can see it's an OMA URI. And you can see here, it's telling you, okay, create this URI for application restrictions. And then we add some XML here that says, okay, which actual, you can see here. Okay, I want this to block these specific product IDs. Now, this is definitely more advanced. And as you'll see, we'll document these URIs and the XML, so you'll actually have step-by-step directions on how to go do that. But in a world where these platforms are changing so quickly, and you know, you don't want to necessarily go do a whole CM update or use any of the new extensions to get that feature ASAP, you can use this. Okay. So, to the deck. So someone was talking about, someone asked a question about deprovisioning. So there's a whole slew of remote operations that you can do on these devices. So one is obviously a remote lock. So if someone has misplaced a device, you don't know where it is, you can actually go ahead and send a remote lock command to your device, and we'll remotely lock it. And that takes a couple of seconds because we use push notifications. Pin reset is another popular one. I use this all the time because I have about 10 devices on my desk right now, and I tend to forget the password. So we use pin reset quite a bit. Now, for iOS devices, what we'll do is just clear out the pin entirely, and then the end user can go ahead and just create a new password. For Android, we'll actually go and generate a temporary password, and I'll show you how that looks in the console. Retire wipe. So this is how we would deprovision a device. So if someone is either not compliant or if someone has left the organization, you can actually... You have two options. So one is a full wipe, where you can actually factory reset the entire device. And you can do that directly from the console. You can also do any of these operations from another device. So let's say I'm an end user, and I left my phone in a cab on the way to Houston. And I'm like, crap, what do I do? Right? You can actually go into any other device and use the company portal application, or actually log into the web portal. And we actually list all the devices that you have enrolled. You can select that device, and we will go and wipe it. And again, that's done through push notification, so that happens in order of minutes. We also have this notion of retire. So if someone's left the organization and you want to deprovision them, but you obviously don't want to factory wipe their device, you can actually go ahead and just initiate a retire. Same thing, a push notification happens, and we'll do a selective wipe on the device. So let me show you actually how that looks. So you can see I have a device here. And I've actually already initiated a, we log all the remote operations you do on a device. So you can see here we've done a remote lock, and we've done a passcode reset. You can see here we've actually generated a temporary password. So what you can do is you can send that to your end user, you can email it to them, and that way they can go and unlock the device. What does the end user see, actually? So I actually have a device that's password has been reset, so you can see here, it's a little dark, but you can see that they'll need to go and enter in a new passcode. If they don't enter in the passcode a correctly specified number of times, the whole device will wipe. So what about a selective wipe? So to do a selective wipe, so I can select a device, select this one. So again, these tasks are really helpful. So you can see there's a link to retire wipe, passcode reset, remote lock. So what you can do is actually just select retire wipe. It's going to prompt you and say, OK, are you sure you want to do this? And do you want to do just a selective wipe or a full wipe of the device? In this case, I'm just going to do a selective wipe. And you can see that the device is now in the process of retiring. So let's see if this is going to go do it. So I've actually selectively wiped this device. So I've installed this eWeather application, which is an application that's come down from the company portal. So this usually takes a couple of minutes. So let's come back to it in a minute and see how it's doing. This last couple of slides. So people again ask about push notifications. I won't go into too much depth here, but if you're interested in how the push notifications work in terms of enrollment and how we synchronize, so how do we guarantee that only push notifications from Intune go to your device and no one else can just go start sending push notifications and waking up your devices? This whole slide kind of talks to that. There's a sender ID that uniquely identifies Intune, and there's a registration ID that uniquely identifies the device, so we take care of that. In terms of support for selective wipe, we support obviously a number of devices. You can see what things are actually removed. I think the key thing here is native Android. Native Android, we cannot selectively wipe all of your corporate data. And the reason for that is because Android requires us to prompt the user for everything. So if we try to go out and install those corporate applications, it's going to prompt the user, say, are you sure you want to? And they can say no. So that's something important to remember about native Android. But if you're using like a Samsung device, especially a new one, it will likely have NOC standard on there, and we can do a selective wipe on that. This guy does not seem to be wiping, but we'll check back, I guess, later in the talk and see. With that, I'll hand it over to Dilip.
So as you see, there's tons of features that we add, and we add it on a very quick basis, as and when we have new releases every quarter. So what I want to talk about is, now how do we take the data protection, the buckets that I talked to you earlier about, securing access to resources and securing data on the device, and take it to the next level? So I'm going to talk about four core areas. One is, how do you secure access to your email and your documents that are available on your corporate environment? Especially make sure that it is only accessed from devices that are managed by a mobile device management solution, and then they are also compliant to my policies. Then there was a question earlier about, hey, you showed me how to do certificates in the SCCM product. How do I do it in the Intune standalone? That's the work we are trying to do. So typically what we do is, since we have two solutions, we try to keep it on parity as almost the same time. But it so happens it might be a month or two later. In some cases, we might do cloud first to keep up with the pace and then do it on on-prem. In this particular case, we had to add it first to the on-prem product. But that's something that we'll address in the fall release. So you will be able to do the same kind of connector deployment that Asim showed earlier with on-prem and a server. You'll be able to do it from an Intune console as well. There are new features that iOS introduced on how to secure your connection between your device applications to your corporate network. It's called Per App VPN, and I'll be showing some more details of that. And then the bottom half is all about the new features that we are introducing about how to protect data leakage from your applications, your corporate applications. There's a whole bunch of features there, and I'm going to talk about that. So let's start with the first one. How do you secure your access to email? So there are some key concepts that we are introducing. One is the concept of what is a compliance policy? Because Asim showed you all these different settings. There are like hundreds and hundreds of settings on each platform. But not all of them are really relevant when it comes to managing from a compliance perspective, because MDM solutions typically do a very good job. Like the platform itself is built in such a way that if you say, here is a VPN profile deployed or anything, you cannot automatically go and remove it by yourself. They lock it down. So similarly, with like I turn off camera, you can't easily bypass that. So whereas there are certain states on the device that are really important from an IT admin perspective, is this device jailbroken? And if it is, then I really need to make sure then I probably tell the user and say, hey, go fix it, or if they're not doing it, I'm going to go cut off access to your services. So those kind of settings are the ones that are becoming more popular, where I can go and set a compliance policy that says, hey, you have a list of blacklisted apps that you have probably installed, or this device is not checked in for so many days. So those are the kind of features that you'll see us building as compliance policy. But once you've defined the policy and you've detected that a device is not compliant, you need to go and say, what actions as an IT admin do you want to take? And that's what we refer to as the conditional access rules, where an action could be block email. And the criteria for that action is based on if a user was even targeted the compliance policy in the first place, and then what is the state that device is in. If it's not compliant and the user is a member of that group, then we go and do the block. And then there's a third concept is once you have a device that's compromised or it's not compliant and it's trying to access resources, how do we notify the user and what's the workflow that we take them through? So that's the feature that's called quarantine. So where it takes this device, puts it in a quarantine state where when it's trying to access email, they won't be actually able to get new email. And if it's a new device, then they don't get any email at all until they fulfill certain conditions. So let's see how this all comes together. We talked about the different services. There is Office 365 service, there's Azure service, there's the Intune service. So let's take an example of an iOS device that you have, and you have your native mail client, and you're trying to get your email. So the user tries to attempt getting access to email. The Exchange service checks to say, hey, is this device managed? Is it compliant with Azure AD? It gets a state back saying, in this particular case, it's a new device. We don't know anything about it. So it's not compliant, and it puts the device automatically into a quarantine state. So what that does is it gives an experience for the end user to say, here are the instructions that you need to follow in order to become compliant, and then that's sent to Intune. So the end user can actually enroll the device. They start managing their the device starts showing up in Intune and AD. So we go and say that now we can push all the policies that Asim showed. It actually goes down to the device, and then we can set the compliant state in AD. So at that point, any further checks to get access to email, it shows that if the device is compliant, now email starts flowing to the user. So this is the typical workflow. So what you see here in this is Intune's job is all primarily around allowing you to specify, here are the compliance policies, and here is what IT has set for the end user to be compliant to. And then we make sure we partner with all our services in Azure AD and Office to make sure we provide the best experience end-to-end. So with respect to on-prem Exchange Server, it's slightly different because this product has already shipped. Like you've got Exchange 2010, you've got Exchange Server 2013, so customers are probably on different versions of it. And those apps that we have shipped for Exchange don't talk to the cloud services. So there we have taken a slightly different approach, which is you again define those policies and say, here are the policies that they need to meet. And then if they're not compliant, we specify to Exchange Server, here are the list of devices that needs to be blocked if they're not compliant. So then whenever one such device tries to attempt to connect to email, it gets put into a quarantine state. Then once again, it gets the notification. It talks to Intune service. And then we have the ability to again go and say, oh, this is now a managed device. It's compliant to my policies. So I'm going to take it out of the blocked list and move it to the allow list. So that's the story that we have with an on-prem Exchange Server. Obviously, what we see is a lot more capabilities that you'd see in the Office 365 just because those services are up and new, and then they have more capabilities, whereas legacy products have a little less support in terms of the capabilities that you'd see. So from an end-user perspective, when they get quarantined, this is the kind of email they would see. They will have, hey, your device is not enrolled. Here is some basic information. So you click on it. It takes you to our Intune service, and you can get remediated by actually following the simple instructions that we provide on the web page. So it helps the users to become compliant quickly, And then once they're compliant, they get access to their corporate email. So that was about what we do for on secure access to email. So what we do, as I said, is you can think of the same concept eventually being extended to other services, eventually SharePoint and Link and all the services, any IT services that you provide, and eventually even VPN kind of services can be built to take advantage of this architecture that we're building. So the other feature is, how do you make sure that the data that is getting connected from your on-premise, from your mobile applications to your corporate server is all secured with a secure connection? So that's the goal. And what happens today with VPN is, when you create a VPN profile, it actually gets deployed for the whole device. What it means is, whenever you open up the VPN connection, either manually the user goes and clicks on the VPN, that whole network is open in a secure way, which means any other applications that are also on the device could potentially use that VPN tunnel. So that introduces a risk, especially on untrusted mobile devices where you don't know what applications are there. That introduces new challenges. So the other issue is, there are some organizations that have deployed these kind of VPNs in a forced tunnel mode, which means all traffic from the device to the service will be forced through that VPN. That could cause, again, performance problems in this case for the end user. But more importantly, it also could compromise like privacy issues for the end user when they're trying to access whatever their personal content is. So based on these concepts and issues, what Apple introduced in iOS 7 was this concept of per-application VPN. So here, it allows you to go in and specify only certain applications, maybe your productivity application or your line of business application, only those applications have the ability to go and connect to my corporate network. So what this provides you is, until the point that the app is launched, the VPN is not even established. And when the actual app's launched, whatever data it exchanges goes through the secure tunnel. And the end user wouldn't even notice that difference. Like, when he just launched the app, it'll look like it worked, but behind the scenes, you only notification you'll see that there's a VPN icon in your iOS device. So how do you configure this from an Intune perspective? So we have a very simple two-step process. The same UI that Asim showed you earlier about creating VPN, when you go into the Intune admin console, you'll see that there is a new UI for how to create a VPN profile. So with all the third-party VPNs that we support about five of them, all the leading vendors like Cisco, F5, and a few other vendors, Juniper. And what we do is, you can go inside the VPN profile, and then you'll see an option that says, this is a per-app VPN. And what it then denotes is, this particular VPN can be associated with iOS applications. So you come to your apps node in Windows Intune, you'll see a list of applications. In this particular case, I have a sales application that I'm going to try to deploy to all my sales users. At the time of deployment, then I'll have a new option that shows what is the VPN that you want to associate this application with. So what it does is, it creates a connection between the app instance and the VPN profile that you're deploying. And then when you actually deploy this to the end user, when they launch the app, it automatically triggers that VPN connection. So what this does is, this particular sales app, if it is containing your critical corporate data about who are your customers and everything, the only thing it does is it channels all the traffic through that VPN. Moving on, the third bucket of features that we have coming down the road is mobile app and data protection. You might have seen some of this during the demo during the keynote, but I'll go into a lot more details on that. So the first concept that we are introducing is the concept of app protection policies. It allows an IT administrator to define a set of knobs, like don't allow copy-paste, don't allow screen capture, and all those kinds of settings, and I'll go into a little more details on that. But it allows IT admin to define, here are the set of policies that will help reduce my data leakage in my enterprise. Then along with that, we've been partnering very closely with the Office teams, with the Outlook team, the OneDrive Pro team. So we work closely with them so that they can build native support for all these restrictions, the app protection policies that we're building in Intune. So what it gives you is the capability as an IT administrator, when these apps come down the road, you'll be able to have protection natively for these applications. You don't have to do any wrapping or any additional work at all. We're also working on a sort of companion apps. What it gives you is the ability, so some of this content, for example, if it's a PDF file or if it's a viewer for some video clips, whatever those kind of content is, we allow these companion apps to go along with the core apps that you deploy. And whenever a user tries to open this content, say a PDF, in a we want it in a secured way, then we can ensure that it gets opened in this kind of secure containers. And then those apps will be subject to the same app restriction policies that we just talked about. And last but not least, if you have a very advanced engineering team where you guys have in-house development of your own line of business apps for iOS and Android, you can eventually have ability to do app wrapping of your own line of business apps. And they, again, can get the same sets of policies that we define with your app protection policies. So what are those app protection policies? The key buckets are, we want to make sure the first thing is we want to prevent data leakage. So we want to say, allow or block your copy, paste, screen capture, print, or backup. The second classification of kind of settings that you can control, you can add is, you can require that these apps, when they are launched, do some extra things. One, it could be as simple as make sure it prompts for a PIN. In another case, it could be prompting for you need to enter your corporate credential again before getting access to the app. Or the other cool thing we'll be working on is we can tie this to the compliance that we defined earlier. So if it's a jailbroken device, don't even allow launching the application. So here's where we can bring the whole compliance policies and the app restriction policy, protection policies together into one concept. And we also support encrypting data at rest. Typically on some of these platforms, if you just turn on passcode, it starts encrypting the data on the device, but we go one extra level and make sure your app-specific data, whenever it's at rest, that also stays encrypted with that. One other thing that is very critical for these applications is when you do selective wipe, typically what MDM-based selective wipe can do is it can go remove your certificates, it can remove your profiles and all that, but it is very difficult to go and remove actually the app data that is cached within those apps unless those apps participate. So what we have done is, again, built this kind of capabilities into our platforms that these app office applications will be able to take advantage of to do this. So one more slide before I show a quick demo of this is the ability to see, as you can see in this picture, in an iOS device, we announced our new CEO announced the availability of all the Office applications on iPad. So Word, PowerPoint, Excel, all these apps, OneDrive and Outlook, these are the kind of applications that are going to be available on the other platforms. Then in addition, you can have your own line of business apps that are also available. So how do we do protection? So when we look at protection, we are looking at the whole suite that we provide, which is called the Enterprise Mobility Suite, which includes Windows Intune, Azure Rights Management Service, and Azure Active Directory. These are all the components of our Enterprise Mobility Suite. And all three play a very important role in our overall end-to-end protection strategy. So first, what Intune does is, as Asim talked about earlier, we set all the device-level policies. So this is the first-level control. You see the red icon, it's all the protects at the device level. It says, here are all the policies and restrictions that we want to apply at the whole device. It doesn't matter what apps you have installed. These are bare minimum policies, and you need to be compliant to those policies in order to get access to your data. And the next level will be all the app-specific policies that I just talked to you about. So when I deploy these app-specific policies, all you have to do is come into the Intune console and go. We'll have all the knobs that I showed you. And we'll be able to go in and say block, copy, paste. And you can do it on a per application basis. You can say, OK, for my Word and all these PowerPoint documents, I want to make sure I have that protection. Maybe for Link and other application, I'm a little more lenient. So I can really do this on a granularity of per application basis. And the benefit is out of the box for all the Office applications, you got the protection available. And then there are still some extra scenarios which are not typically met by any app container solution. So typically one of them is, hey, I'm going to share this data, but I want to really have the protection move along with the data that I'm sharing. So for example, I've protected and encrypted a document. I've sent it out to my partner or somebody, a business associate. And if they need access to the same protected corporate data, then they'll have to use the rights management app because you've given them specific permission only to be shared with that user. So that will prompt them. And this rights management app is available on all platforms against iOS, Android, Mac, and, of course, Windows platforms. So in those cases, you'll be able to actually share data in a very secure way with all your partners that you're collaborating with. So the key point I'm trying to emphasize here is this kind of breadth of data protection capabilities is available only from Microsoft when we have this roadmap completely executed. So before I go into the next slide, let me switch quickly and show a demo that you saw at the keynote, but in case you missed it. Okay. So what you have is an application here. So this is the same demo device we used for the keynote as well. So you see that there is an attachment here in an email. And I'm going to try and open that attachment. So it's got information about all the key downloads. Assume that this is very critical data, mission critical. And you see how the native app renders it. And it's not a great experience. So one of the things that we do is we go in iOS. You have this open in feature. This is what Asim was talking earlier, and this is a feature we already support today. This open and manage, we can restrict what are the apps that can be allowed to open in. So in this particular case, I've put a policy that says I can only open in Excel and OneDrive business app because they are going to be my protected apps. So let's say I open it in Excel. So you can see it's a much better experience, right? So you use a native viewer, it's not great, but when you go to Office on iPad, it's a much better experience. So let me go and try to click. And I want to try and copy this data over. So I'm going to do copy. So when I come and try to go to my native email, and I want to go into my inbox, I want to say compose a new message. This is not a protected application. So let me try and do a paste. You see that there is no option to do a paste at all here, because we had blocked it. So IT admin set a policy saying that this is critical corporate information. I don't want any app data leaking out of that app that I showed you from Excel, so this is going to be protected. However, you could, as I said, it's all defense in depth, right? It's all limits of what you can do with the capabilities in the product. So we also have the ability to stop screen capture, but nothing stops you from obviously taking a camera and taking a picture on it. So the other thing, what you can do is, I'm going to go into the protected app, one of the protected apps, the OAuth app, and then I'm going to now go and try to create a new email. So in this case, this is one of the protected apps, and I trust this app. So when I try and do a copy-paste, it lets me do a paste operation. So that's how we are differentiating between what are critically protected apps for corporate data and the unprotected ones, and lets you manage and unmanage, like what kind of data gets shared between these devices. Yeah. Actually, that's a good question, because there's this concept, and again, as I said, this is an emerging space. This is a challenge that all solution vendors have. What feature you're referring to is what is called an identity-based wipe or protection, because most of my line of business apps are going to be for like critical work purposes. I can go ahead and put a blind policy on those. Whereas for my personal productivity apps, if it is going to go connect to a corporate server versus a personal email server, then we need those apps to be also enlightened to support those concepts. So there's going to have to be partnerships with whoever is developing those apps to make sure that that kind of concept of personal versus corporate gets separated out. Okay.
Have you made that type of partnership with the native apps
for right now, we're focusing on the apps that we ship in Microsoft, and then we're reaching out once we have this as a story with other partners. So to come back to this, so what is the approach, what I presented, and how is it different from what is there in the market today, right? So this is typically what other solutions do today. So they, if they want to implement this kind of protection, what they do is they go and build their own email viewer or a file viewer or whatever application. But these are proprietary applications, and for email, they're probably based on open source code. The feedback that we've received from most customers is they're not very happy with your end user experience with those applications. The IT admin gets protection, but the end user experience really gets impacted. Whereas the approach that I just showed you now is all your users are very familiar and using Office applications. And these applications, when they're built with support natively for Intune restriction policies, it gives a great solution end-to-end. So your IT pro can set those policies, as well as your end users can have the best productivity apps that they're used to working with. And as I showed you also, from a technology stack perspective, we are covering the entire stack in terms of protecting the device-level data, the app-level data, and the actual data that's in transit as well. So we have the complete protection, and that's why we think our roadmap is a much superior option at this point. So with that, I want to start wrapping up. The key takeaways I want to leave you guys with is we at Microsoft are very committed and investing a lot in this space, around mobile device management in general, but specifically around security and data protection in particular. So you're going to see a lot more updates, like what I just shared now, coming in the coming months and years. And we are also building this kind of manageability and data protection built into the Office apps, so that gives you a kind of advantage. It helps your end users to stay productive. IT is happy because they can set these additional kind of controls on the device. And then your CIO is happy because now they can do kind of compliance requirements that they can meet for their auditors, because now I can do my PC management reports, compliance reports from SCCM, and the Intune piece gives the mobile device, and I can get my comprehensive compliance to all my security policies. So with that, I'll open up for some questions. We have 8 minutes left, and we're also around here, so you can stay back if you have more questions on that. And your feedback is really appreciated, because we're not our day jobs are not speaking. So we'd love to get some feedback, both on the content and where we're headed. Yeah.
I had a couple things. The slide that you guys showed with the hybrid config manager in
yep.
Tune, which of those servers needs exposed to the internet? In particular, I was wondering if that. The SCEP server that you talked about with the certificates, I think it was actually
the SCEP thing, the piece that issues the certificate that the mobile device needs to talk to should be in your DMZ so that they can actually come up and connect up and get the certificate done. Okay. But other than that, everything else can be inside your infrastructure.
Okay, that's what I suspect. Okay. Can my support desk enroll devices on behalf of users?
Sorry?
Can, like, I have my support desk people enroll devices
on behalf of.
On behalf.
Oh, okay. So we did announce as a part of the roadmap, which I didn't cover. I covered only the data protection scenarios, scenarios around support for bulk enrollment that's coming,
okay.
And where we will do IT provisioning. There are multiple ways, right? There's a configurator, and then Apple just announced the DEP, which is their new program for if you bulk purchase devices from Apple,
okay.
Then you can actually help enroll them directly into Intune by the time they get shipped. Right, so that's the work that we are partnering with Apple on, and we'll give an update on.
Any estimate on when that would be available?
No commitments on time for any of this, I said.
Okay.
The thing is, we want to share all the information ahead so we can see where we are headed. But as I said, we have a very quick cadence. Every
right.
quarter, we have a release of the service coming.
And just the last one real quick. I know you said you could block email if people are out of compliance. Can you just do a corporate wipe if they're out of compliance?
It's a feature that we're working on. We've heard that quite often, either to block the device or do a selective wipe.
Okay.
Currently, it's not on that, but I'll make sure that we'll add it to them.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Speaking of selective wipe, the one I initiated, it did work. Someone, I think I cheated you guys. It did wipe, so FYI.
So,
yeah.
Thank you very much for the session.
Yeah.
Couple of questions. In your last demo, which is also in the keynote speak, right? So that in the iOS, in the iPad, you can prevent the copy and paste.
Yeah.
When that will be available?
Again, as I said, we don't want to make commitments. It's in our roadmap as soon as possible.
Okay, sure. So second question, right?
Yeah.
So I'm still trying to, we know in the mobile device, right? So the support varies by apps,
yep.
by different OS.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say in your demo, if it's a PDF file, which is much more common
mm-hmm.
than an Excel file, right?
Yep.
So what it will look like, that user experience in there? And will that, can Microsoft can address that issue alone, or you need a collaborate with some other third-party vendor to make that PDF protection secure.
Okay. So two parts to it. If it was PDF that was an attachment to an email or something,
yes,
then we have a solution that I talked about, right? But if it is the app itself, you say, I'm assuming, say, Adobe or some other app itself needs to be protected because you're going to be authoring content and everything, then that requires a partnership with us, and we'll reach out to them after we ship the Microsoft products.
So sure, let me walk through that process a little bit from my understanding, right? So in the email, which is, I guess, native email client, I got a PDF attachment, and I guess your guys has open in control. So I guess I will open in that PDF in some application your guys controlled. In that, so that means
you can
whatever.
Put all the policies that I showed you on that app, whatever you're using it to open in.
Sure, that means that PDF application which opened this PDF already understand your policy.
Yes.
So basically, I do a copy paste inside that PDF application. I only allow pass this clipboard to some other apps which kind of link, you know, managed by Intune as well.
Yep. So what we do is we can say you can only share it with managed applications. So that restricts the kind of apps that can open the data.
Okay.
And then within the managed apps, make sure you use only those apps that are protected already by Intune, that are aware of these policies. And with that combination, you can accomplish that scenario, which is too.
But I guess the question like Adobe Reader, right? That's a very common application.
Yep.
And so I can open a document to the Adobe Reader from the native email client here. I can also open a personal document in Adobe Reader. And then, now you also disable me copying a personal document in Adobe Reader to email, my personal email, to send out a personal email?
Yeah, so it depends on, again, the apps that you're doing, right? So for just PDF reading, we're saying we'll have some app which is more secure than the typical Adobe Reader, for example. And then for those particular apps, if they're, say, for example, if you have these attachments, then that's where I talked about whether it's a is the email server connecting to your corporate server or to your personal server. So we need those native mail apps to be aware of those kind of identity in order to really
take that. So basically, when they open the attachment to the Adobe Reader, Adobe Reader sort of know this document where it's from, know the origin of the document.
Yep. The other option is once we ship our Outlook and whatever apps from email from Microsoft for iPads, so what you do is you can say you can only allow email from these protected apps and not from your personal apps, personal native mail app.
Okay, got it. Thank you very much.
Yes.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Our SCCM infrastructure is currently owned by Desktop Engineering.
Okay.
Mobile device management is handled by another team.
Okay.
Can we, is there a way for administrators to be provision to only work with mobile devices in that current infrastructure, or do we have to build out a new infrastructure so we don't mess with the desktop engineering stuff?
I know we have role-based access control. I don't know if you know if specifically within that we'll be able to separate out the mobile device pieces.
I don't think we can separate the mobile device pieces, but we can follow up and find out. But I'm not sure about that one.
Okay.
Because in the interest of unification, what we did was apps, policies, everything are kind of within the wizards are the same. Only when you launch the wizard, you'll know whether you're creating a Windows policy or a mobile device policy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I got another. Okay. Well, I saw a screen you mentioned when some device is non-compliant, and if the gentleman or the staff member tries to access email, it says, it gives you an email saying you're non-compliant.
Yep.
Is there a way, do we have that now or in the roadmap that that email has a link to request for approval and it goes to the console and the admin can see it and say, you know what, either deny or approve the request? Is it there?
Okay. Currently, we don't support that. But just to understand from a scenario perspective, right, there's security and then the end user experience. Typically, the feedback we've got from customers is make sure that if somebody's trying to get to their email, they're productive, they're trying to be productive, if you make sure that they can get access as soon as they can, right? So with this other workflow, we could support it, but there are going to be latencies associated with what if this admin's out on vacation or whatever, how long is he blocked before they get access to email. So, but that's a valid scenario in specific cases that we could definitely look at how to support.
Like something like this is currently available. I don't know how our Exchange admins do it.
So the native allow block quarantine in Exchange has that, but it was built for more a scenario where I had no idea what new devices are showing up on my network. So in a small to medium-sized business, that model might work where actually as and when new devices come up, it all goes to a workflow and somebody approves it before they get it into the system. In this particular case, you can probably achieve something similar by saying only users in these groups can actually get access to their email. So if they are not part of a member of a group that you trust, then a new device won't automatically show up.
But wouldn't that be the same thing as a machine, as a desktop machine, sitting in a one-way trust domain? Same, if you try to join a machine or push a client, the SCCM client on a machine in a DMZ or somewhere, it's in the console, it's available to be approved of. That would be the same case in case of a device. Mm-hmm. And at one time, if an admin is on vacation, someone else has to fill in anyways, right?
Yeah, as I said, I think it's a definitely interesting scenario. We'll consider it for our roadmap purposes. From our product, I think currently we are prioritizing a scenario where the admin says, okay, here are the users who can enroll, and then as long as they're in that group, we allow them to enroll the device. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I was wondering, does Intune support any sort of like either a lockdown kiosk mode or a role-based containerization where I would have a scenario where I've got multiple users that'll be accessing the devices, and based on their level of AD groups, policies, things like that, do you have the ability to lock down certain containers so when they come onto the device, they only see a container with set applications, and then when they log off or move off that device, somehow clear or cache it? Another user can come on with a different container with different apps available.
Yep. So that depends a little bit on what the underlying platform supports in this case. Okay. For example, what Asim was showing earlier was for Windows Phone 8.1, there is this restricted access mode where it's like a task worker kind of device where only certain applications can get launched. So for those kinds of things, whatever is built natively, we'll be able to support. Similarly, for iOS, there is also this kiosk mode kind of feature that we'll be adding support in our roadmap.
Okay, thanks.
I think we're out of time here, so I'll get off the stage
okay.
and then
sure.
we'll sync.
Sure.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.